Welcome. You're listening to God in the Raw Ministries. It's time to power up your week. Stay tuned for a powerful message from Prophetess Dr. Charmaine Gilpert. Be blessed.
I bring you a word today entitled, When the Anointed Becomes Your Enemy. Most times, it is not the people that are far from you that are your enemies. It is the people you break bread with. It is the same table that you eat and fellowship. That's where your enemy lies. And sometimes, even when you figure out who is your enemy, you are not allowed to do anything about it. As a matter of fact, it is a blessing to identify who is your enemy. Oh, somebody bless God. Several biblical figures has been tested and proven to such a fact that God have anointed great men and women. And through the act of disobedience, they have decided to divert. It does not mean that because you're anointed, you are not perfect. It does not mean that because you're anointed, you won't do the wrong thing. As a matter of fact, some of the most rebellious people, they have a calling on their lives. If you take note of the 12 disciples, there was not a wimp among them. Some of them were assassins. Some of them were so radical. You look at the Apostle Peter, and it sounds so beautiful to say, oh, the apostle. Peter was a very radical man. He was a man of war. He was a man of hot-tempered. He was a man that walked around strapped with his sword. Even while Yeshua was in the midst, Peter was strapped. And so I know you think that God put his anointing on cute people. God put his anointing on radical people. The more radical you are, the more anointed you become. Because you understand, when you understand radicalism, you serve God with that same radical mindset. Oh, somebody ought to bless God. You know, it's a dirty shame when you are radical in the streets, but then when you come to Christ, you're acting like you are a chicken. It is with that same radicalization that God wants for you to stand up and decree and declare that there is no God like my God. Hallelujah. Come on and shout amen. Amen. Not your neighbor and say, you can be radical and be very nice. You don't have to flex your muscles on me. You don't have to flex your muscles on me. You can be radical yet firm. Or should I say, you can be saved and radical and anointed. and stand up for the right. Oh, somebody bless God. Oh, somebody bless God. I thank God for the anointing. Jealousy is one of the main key factors that allow an anointed person to become evil. When you carry the anointing of God, you become a target. When you carry the anointing of God, it births enemies. If you're looking for people to love you because you're anointed, honey, I am telling you, people will get close to you because you're anointed, because they're trying to get so close to you so some of that stink can rub off on them, and they don't understand that it's not for you to give. Do you know that it's a dangerous thing to become the friend of an anointed person? Huh? Because when you become my friend, and now I have to tell you the truth. Do you understand? It's hard to receive because I am supposed to be your friend. Now you can't handle it. Said, Lord, help me. Pride is another factor that allow an anointed person to go rogue. Lucifer was anointed. The most anointed cherub. But he became full of himself. Said, Lord, help me not to become full of myself. Said, I decree and I declare that there is no God like Yahweh. I decree and I declare that there is no power like the power of the true and living God. I submit myself. Come on and give him a mighty shout of praise. Give him a mighty shout of praise. Give him a mighty shout of praise. He became so prideful. He decided that he will exalt himself above God. Got to watch that kind of spirit. Lift your hand in the presence of the Lord and said, Lord, I know that that kind of spirit is in my DNA, because I was vaccinated with the sin antidote. Lord, let the antidote of salvation move that far away from me. I ask it now in Yeshua's name. We all say, all of us have the potential to become like Satan. Whether you're anointed or not. But thanks be to God that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I'm going to show you how powerful of a man King David was without being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Said, Lord, characterize my very nature. Because you can be anointed and still make a fool of yourself. 2 Samuel chapter 1. Because you see, when we are anointed, we tend to think that because everybody know that I'm anointed, you must be careful how you deal with me. And that's a fact, but you shouldn't wear that on your shoulder. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. Because I know that I am anointed, I am very careful how I respond to those that offend me. Because I know the power that God has given to me. God has not just given me power to preach. He has also given me power to curse. God has given me power to bind and power to loose. Oh, I wish somebody praise him. I wish somebody praise him. For thou shalt decree a thing, and the Lord will establish it. I saw a young man comes to church and he have to leave after a little while because he's not well in his body. Everything he eats becomes a problem. When I saw him walking out today, I said to the deacon sitting next to me, I said, I want you to touch and agree with me that God will move towards Brother Chico. Somebody say real soon. It doesn't mean that because you have power, he give you utterance to use it. You have to wait on the unction. Oh, I wish somebody praise God. You have to wait on the unction. You see, you can sit on the front line with a situation and you watch a stranger come in and pick up their deliverance and you still sit there. It's not your season. But I am declaring a thing that next Shabbat, Brother Chico will be prayed for. And I'm decreeing and declaring that a miracle will flow his way. For thou shalt decree a thing, and the Lord will establish. When the anointed becomes your enemy. He said, now it came to pass, after the death of Saul, that David returned from the slaughter and the Amalekites of the Amalekites, and David had abode 2 days in Ziklag. Now, I want to bring you up to speed that David was a young man that was ostracized. His brothers thought that he was just a little punk. And his father, Jesse, kept him in the field. Because you see, he was from a different mother. Jesse's wife had died and Jesse married someone that wasn't up to par according to the culture. And so as a result of that, David was not accepted among the elders, so much so that even his daddy was ostracized. You know, more like when Moses married the Ethiopian woman. And so David had to be in the fields. Tell somebody, don't pay attention to where I'm at. Pay attention to where I'm going. Because sometimes God will have you in the field so that you can get to the throne. Oh, I wish somebody praise God right there. And so the day came when God desired to choose David to be king. Still a young man. Samuel the prophet went to Jesse's house to anoint one of his sons, because thus saith the Lord. And when all the tall and skillful sons came out, because they were men of war, Samuel said, none of them have been chosen. You don't have any other sons. Imagine the look on Jesse's face. Yes, I have one little redhead one, but in his mind, and I'm paraphrasing, surely God would have never chosen him. He don't got nothing about him that is kingly. Oh, Lord, lift your hand in the presence of God, because God has chosen us. There is nothing kingly about the one I have left. Samuel said, send for him. Sure enough, he came, and he was the one chosen, and was sent back to the field. I wish somebody would praise God. You see, some of you don't know who you are because of where your situation take you. You think that's what you become, your situation. Oh, tell two people, I am not my situation. I am greater than my circumstances. A king. But back to taking care of the sheep. Chosen, but still in the field. Oh, lift your hand and said, I'm of a special kind. And so, long and short of the story is that before long, the Spirit of God had left King Saul. What he didn't know is that God had a new king. So much so that David was even taken to the palace to serve. You're serving me. You're serving senior pastor. But you are the real pastor. Not your neighbor and say, serve. Where you're placed to serve. You might be serving your position. Oh, with somebody, please God. Nicola, serve! Serve! And so David was serving by playing for Saul. When the evil spirit come upon Saul, David would come and David would play, and it would calm his spirit. But before long, Saul found out that David was a new king. And now David becomes an enemy. When the anointed becomes your enemy. And then Saul begins to chase David. Now remember now, Saul is now driven by evil. And when an evil spirit is after you, only God can rescue you. You hear what I'm trying to say? I said, when an evil spirit is attacking you, only God can help you. And so he began chasing David for years upon years upon years upon years. So now read. And it came even to pass.
And it came even to pass on the third day that, behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul with his clothes rent and earth upon his head. And so it was when he came.
And David said unto him,
from whence comest thou? And he said unto him, out of the camp of Israel am I escaped.
So listen. Remember, Saul did some good things. He was a great king. And one of the things that he did was get rid of all the sorcerers out of the land. The witches. Right? But when God left him, I'm telling you, you will seek at the source when God has left you.
Yes.
Lift your hand in the presence of the Lord and say, Lord, don't leave me. Lord, don't leave me. Lord, don't leave me. And when God left Saul said, is there any witch left in the land of Israel? And you must have good armor bearers. You need to know where everybody is. You need to know where everything lies. Come on now. And one of the armor bearers said, yes, there's a woman left. And when he got there, the woman was able to tell him what was going to befall him. And so Saul went to battle. David also was fighting on the side of the Philistine. And then comes this young man. David was now exhausted and tired from fighting the Amalekites. Read.
And David said unto him.
And David said to this young man.
How went the matter?
How went the battle? Tell me about the battle.
And he answered.
Uh-huh.
That the people are fled from the battle.
And the people of Israel fled from the battle.
And many of the people also are fallen and dead.
And many of them are fallen by the sword. You are not supposed to run from the battle. The enemy is supposed to run from you. You not supposed to be the one running from the enemy. Stand up and said, Lord, for me, Lord. Fight for me, Lord. Read.
And Saul and Jonathan, his son, are dead also.
Now you know that David loved Jonathan. The word of the Lord said the love he had for him was surpassed the love a man had for a woman. What a love.
My God.
What a love. And so this young man continued to say, yeah, Saul and all of his sons are also fallen by the sword. Read. Uh-huh.
And David said unto the young man that told him,
uh-huh,
how knowest thou that Saul and Jonathan,
how
his son,
do
is dead?
You know? Said, Lord.
Lord.
Help me to be still when I am in the presence of your anointed. Because saints, I'm telling you, many of us are in great trouble because so many of us has put forth our hand to God's anointed. Even though God is no longer with a person, if oil was poured upon a person, they are called God's anointed. Some of them, you have to walk away from them. Walk away from them, but don't say nothing evil. Let it be that. I see the evil and I'm gone. Just be gone and leave it at that. Read.
And the young man that told him said,
mm-hmm,
as I happened by chance upon Mount Gilboa.
It was just by chance. I was just passing by.
Behold.
Uh-huh. Behold.
Saul leaned upon his spear.
Saul leaned upon his spear. Let me break that down. It doesn't mean that Saul was taking a rest. Saul committed suicide. At least he tried to commit suicide. He fell upon his sword. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul fell upon his sword, his armor bearer fell upon his sword too. Are you a true armor bearer? Will you die because I die?
Mm?
Will you follow me into battle even when you see that God is not with me? Lord have mercy. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. And so now read.
Saul leaned upon his spear, and lo, the chariots and horsemen followed hard after him.
Mm-hmm.
And when he looked behind him, he saw me and called unto me.
Uh-huh.
And I answered, here am I. And he said unto me, who art thou?
Mm-hmm.
And I answered him, I am an Amalekite. He said unto me again, stand, I pray thee, upon me and slay me, for anguish is come upon me. Behold, my life is yet whole in me. So I stood upon him and slew him, because I was sure that he could not live after that he was fallen. And I took the crown that was upon his head.
Listen.
And the bracelet that was on his arm.
Uh-huh.
And have brought them hither unto my Lord.
Come on, come on now. So you see, this Amalekite knew that David was next in line for the throne. Because by this time, David's fame went abroad. You remember the song? How Saul has slain his thousand, but David had slew his 10,000.
Yes.
So David already had status. And so this young man thought that David was going to bless him because he slew Saul and he took the crown and he took the bracelet and he brought it to David. This is what David did.
Then David took hold on his clothes and rent them, and likewise all the men that were with him.
So listen, when you're an armor bearer, whatever the leader do, you do. Sometimes I come and I hear the anointed praise and worship. A leader said, let us all lift our hands. And I often just look and see how many people are truly lifting their hands. This is why we don't know how to fight battles. You don't know how to win them because you don't know how to follow order. Or somebody said, Lord, help me. I know I need to follow order. Come on now. And so David ripped his clothes and he began to weep, and so all the men of war
fasted,
ripped their clothes and went into immediate fasting. Come on now.
For Saul and for Jonathan.
They fasted for Saul.
And for Jonathan, his son.
And for Jonathan, even though they were dead.
Yes, and for the people of the Lord.
And they fasted for the people of God.
And for the house of
Israel.
That was
fallen by the sword.
Yes.
And fasted for those that had to flee from the battle. Because that was a disgrace. A day of disgrace for Israel. Read.
And David said unto the young man that told him, whence art thou?
Mm-hmm.
And he answered, I am the son of a stranger and a Amalekite.
Mm-hmm.
And David said unto him,
well,
how wast thou not afraid to stretch forth thine hand to destroy the Lord's anointed?
Well, stop right there. Can I paraphrase? Are you mad? You a stranger? Put forth your... Remember, this is mercy killing. I feel bad for the young man.
Yes.
Because he did the king a favor. And the king requested it. And he was so happy that he did something good. I want you to understand the logic of the story. Saul was mad. Was not in his right mind. David had opportunity to kill Saul himself. And David did not. David took a part of Saul's robe and became nervous that he did that and repented. Because he felt guilty. And what happened to this young man? Listen, church.
And David called one of the young men and said, go near and fall upon him. And he smote him that he died. And David said unto him,
hold on. What do you do
God,
when your enemy is the anointed? When the anointed becomes your enemy, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Some of us were too hasty. We're too hasty to defend. But what you're defending is, honey, as long as you're in war, you're going to get hurt. This pathway is war zone. We're fighting every day to remain sane. We're fighting every day to remain sane. It's a war zone. You are going to be hurt. Your feelings will be hurt. Someone will talk about you. Someone will offend you. You're in a war. And even when the person that offends you is mad, lose their mind. If they were anointed by God, be careful how you handle that situation. Jehu was anointed to be king. You remember how Jezebel influenced Ahab to take the vineyard of Naboth? And Naboth was a man of God. His vineyard was not just taken, he was murdered. And his sons were also murdered. But there comes a time, God, remember, God used one of Ahab's soldiers to become king for one purpose. And the purpose was to take out Jezebel. Come on, lift your hand in the presence of the Lord and say, Lord, if I have wronged anyone, if I have wronged your anointed, forgive me, Lord. I repent and I ask for your forgiveness. Save me from the sword.
Thank you for joining God in the Raw Ministries. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Be sure to like, share, and subscribe. Partner with God in the Raw by calling 1-888-914-6346. Again, that number is 1-888-914-6346. And be a part of this magnificent movement. Until next time.